Artlist.io. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Yo, 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 welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock in the building. Let's go. What are you made of? That's what we're going to find out today. I have Alana Cole in the building. We're going to find out the ingredients that have gone into making her who she is so far. Obviously, she's on a journey, I have a feeling, and she's got a lot further to go. But so far, like, what's going in to making her who she is? And I told her in the green room, we got to get, you know, very vulnerable and transparent. She said nothing's off limits. And she said that's always the case with her. So we're going to meet her here in a second. But let me introduce her first. She's a content creator, mentor, and business owner. She started on OF in 2020 and has built a following centered around mentoring others on how to succeed on SW platforms. What is SW?
Sex workers.
Okay. Sex workers platforms. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so naive. I'm such a like innocent little guy. I promise.
I'll teach you.
All right, Alana. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, we have a wide spectrum of guests on here from different industries, different, you know, parts of the journey. And I like that because everybody's going through a different thing, but then we also start to see a common theme, which is everybody has bad days. Everybody has setbacks, discouragements, and everybody that succeeds are like persisters. They just keep going. They're like, kind of like,
yeah,
they're almost stubborn, which stubborn's a good thing when it's on the right thing. And so that's what we kind of find. And I've done, this show's had about 600 plus, I don't even know it anymore, but a lot of episodes. And I see these common threads that start to come through with our guests. So I want to do this the right way first, because we start the show the same way every time. And that's with the question, what are you made of?
So mostly water. No, I'm joking. Okay.
Oh, she's a smart ass too, folks.
That too. I'm mostly made of a lot of layers. So there's not one thing, but I would say there's passion, there's drive, and there's also fear. And when I thought about this question, because I knew you're going to ask me, I also thought you're going to ask me why fear. And fear is kind of what drives a lot of what I do. And the fear is I don't want to regret my life. I have a fear of regretting or not living my life to the fullest or not doing the things that I want to do. So that fear drives me to live my life. And that's why fear is one of those layers for me.
Gotcha. And so have you found that fear like runs from you when you lean into it?
Yeah, it's this thing.
Does
like
that make sense?
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. If I lean into it, I'm like, okay, I'm scared. I don't want to go back to a normal 9-to-5 job because that doesn't make me happy. And like, I don't want to go another 50 years or however long and look back and be like, oh, I was sitting at a desk all day. That fear makes me so excited to do the things that I love and to like strive for those goals. And then the fear starts to, like you said, it starts to run away from me. And so I'm actually trying to catch up to it. And I'm saying like, no, what scares me today? How can I be afraid today so that tomorrow I look back and I'm like, I conquered that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. A question on that though, is there a line on how far you should push the boundaries or the limits of what you might be fearful of? Because sometimes, you know, fear is one of those things that is a strength. It's a tool, I should say, that keeps us alive, right? And keeps us safe. But you just can't let it control your life, right? And when it takes over and goes beyond that, then but is there a limit? Like, because look, not everybody does what you do, right? Let's face it. And a lot of people don't do it because they feel like it's over the line, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, you have no judgment for me. But just so we're clear, like any questions I'm asking you is not judgment for me. I'm just asking the questions that I think the audience may be having.
I appreciate that. And no, I'm totally like down to talk about that and get into it. Because that you bring a good point. Like, what is the line to conquering these fears? Because, you know, a lot of people would be, I would say, fearful of doing what I do. I am putting myself really vulnerably, you know, full body on the internet. And that is something that a lot of people are not comfortable with, and not everyone needs to be. And I think that there's also a line within that, because I get asked as a coach and mentor too for other creators in this space. I get asked, you know, do I have to keep pushing myself to do more to make more money? And the truth is you don't have to. You can do what you want to do, just like in any career path that you take. You can choose what's comfortable to you. And just because someone else is doing something differently doesn't mean you have to necessarily do the same thing as them to make the same amount of money. There's so many different avenues and like paths and ways to do that. So yes, there is a line to that fear. And sometimes when you think about, oh, like going to the extreme or whatever is one of my fears, I'm not chasing that fear. There's different fears that I'm chasing. And like I said, the only fear is to not live my authentic, genuine, happy life. That's the fear. It's not necessarily like to do certain actions on my pages or to, you know, perform certain videos or whatever. It's not that sort of fear. So yeah, there is a line, a comfortability line, and like what I feel good doing and what makes me feel happy. So I choose happiness over anything else.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that is a choice. That is a choice. So yeah. Take us back. Everybody's got a story, Alana. What is your story? Like, where did it all start? You said you mentioned in the green room where you grew up. You want to go back as far as you want to, but where's your story originate from, and what is your story?
Sure. So I'm from like a smaller town in Northern California. I grew up on 3 acres, like I mentioned to you in the green room. And I was a wild kid. I was very social. I had a lot of fun. My parents got divorced, but it actually made me a lot stronger with each of them individually than before they got divorced. And I was a wild teenager, but I also got really, really great grades and went to college. I was in honors classes. I was a cheerleader. I was in theater, but I also went and partied with the party kids. So it was kind of all over the place. And I guess a little bit of a gypsy. I think, you know, a big piece of my story also starts when I was very young. And when what's that show called with the Playboy Mansion? Girls Next Door. A big piece of my story, if we're talking about, you know, where I ended up today as far as career, is that I watched The Girls Next Door and I thought, this is so cool. These girls are just, you know, being cute, laying by the pool. Obviously, there was more behind the closed doors, but that's what it looked like, right? So I always had that in the back of my mind. And when I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went for visual communications, which is a little bit of everything, really, when it comes to like graphic design or video editing, anything visual, advertising. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So it was pretty general. And then I found YouTube. And YouTube was where that passion came in. Like I mentioned, one of those layers. YouTube was my baby. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in with it. I started creating videos about my life, sharing my story, sharing my journey through college, through getting a corporate job, all of that. And I just had such passion for YouTube, and I can't explain it. It's just something I feel so drawn to. And from there, one day I realized I have so much passion for this thing that I'm doing, and I have no passion for my corporate job. Nothing. Just didn't feel like it was giving me the life that I wanted. And not even in regards to money. I was climbing the ladder really quickly, but just my day to day was not giving me enough. And I wanted to be happy. I wanted to have flexibility. And my boss was even very flexible with me. Like it was a really good gig. He's still one of my best friends. And he would be like, if you need a day off, take a day off. Now you don't even have to put it on the books, you know?
What kind of business was that?
I worked for Guess Jeans. I worked at their corporate office. I did video editing and a lot of like production stuff. And it was a great job. And I loved it. And I still love the team. And like I said, I'm still close with a lot of the people that still work there. And I worked there for 6 years. But I just wasn't fulfilled. So I dropped everything one day and I was like, I'm going to go full throttle with YouTube. And I only had a few $1,000s saved. I don't know what I was thinking. And I said, I don't care what it takes, but if I have this job and I'm still doing YouTube, I'm not going to give my 100% to YouTube. So I need to make myself afraid. I need to be scared. So I dropped it. I quit. My boss was totally understanding. He's the coolest. And he was like, live your passions, like do what you want to do. And I'm here to help you and support you from afar. I was like, all right. So I just went all in with it. And for the first year, it was really hard. So I started picking up some social media gigs. I would help small businesses, you know, start building their social media so I could get a little cash there, a little cash there. And my YouTube started building and I started getting some AdSense from it. And then OnlyFans came around and I had some friends doing it, actually. Most of them were just doing some bikini photos. It wasn't anything too extreme. And I didn't really know, you know, what to expect with it. I saw a video.
It was kind of like just creating a paywall for your content that you would normally put on IG or something, but it was a paywall for exclusive content. Yeah, I gotcha. That's
absolutely. It was, I didn't even know. Yeah. I just put some bikini photos up just like my friends were doing. And I saw one of my friends on YouTube make a video about it and her video really took off. And I said, oh, I can make a video about my journey trying it as well. So then I tried it as well and the video took off. And so I was like, this is really cool. Let me see, you know, people are interested in this part of my story and for this part of my journey. Let's continue and see what I can do with this new platform. And it took me 3 months and then I dropped my side gigs, my side hustles with helping social media, like for small businesses. I stopped doing that. And yeah, it only took 3-4 months for me to actually build a pretty solid income with bikini photos at the beginning. That's all it was for the first 3-4 months. And then as I grew and as I learned what I felt comfortable doing, my platform has definitely evolved and become a little bit more explicit. I still only do solo content. So, you know, not every OnlyFans creator or slushy creator is the same. And, you know, there is the stigma that we're all doing certain things, but everyone is different. And like I said, I have my boundaries and I still to this day, 5 years later, have those in place and I'm continually making more money. So that just proves you don't have to do anything that you don't feel comfortable with. And you can build an entire empire out of just trying something new that maybe you might've had a stigma towards. But yeah, it kind of grew into a lot of different things. I have my coaching, I have my podcast, I have my YouTube. I also work with, like I just mentioned, Slushy. I am the head of community there now. And we're building this incredible platform that is sort of like OnlyFans, sort of like TikTok. It's like a blend between the two. And it's a great place to get discovered for these types of creators. And it's just become so much more than I ever thought when I first started 5 years ago.
So let me ask you a question on this. So when you started your content, right, how did you know what to start charging? Did you just put a price up and say, okay, let me see if it works and then adjust it based on signups?
So in the beginning, I put my subscription price at $30 because I had nothing to go off of. And it was 2020. So, I mean, I started in 2019, but like when it really took off, it was 2020. And I didn't know what other people were doing because it was so fresh. Obviously, the platform had been around for a few years, I guess, but it was mostly for dancers in strip clubs that were using it. And so even they were not using it to the, you know, the best of its potential, really. And so I didn't know what, so I did $30 and I know some people still have it at $30 and that's great. I have lowered it now. But I just put it up for a price that I thought I just guessed and that worked for a little bit. And then, you know, you play around with the prices as well, as far as like what you're selling in the messages and on your actual page. So I played around with it a lot and I've set up a tip menu at first. And I started doing that for a couple years and that worked really great. And now actually recently, I don't have a tip menu anymore. I like to go based off of the content and what it actually is, because every single video or photo is going to be different. And like I said, I do have more extreme stuff now. So, or explicit, not extreme really. So the more explicit stuff maybe will be charged differently than the bikini photos nowadays, you know? So it ranges for sure. And I guess that's a big question a lot of people have is like, what do I price my content at? There's not a right way. And you can play around with it really. Yeah.
Okay. And so, when you started doing this, right, first of all, when did you feel like you made it? Like, what was there a number in mind, dollar amount, revenue or something that you knew, like, if I get to this point, like a target or goal? And what was that when it, like, how long did it take for that to happen? Like a year, 6 months?
So when I made it was when I was able to quit those jobs. And I was only making, I think, 3 or 4,000 that month when I said, okay, I can live off $3,000 or $4,000.
And how long did that take? Like, did that take 6 months? Three months?
Yeah. The first month I made like $1,000 or $1,600. And then the second month maybe it was like $2,000, and then it got to $3,000, $4,000. And I was like, I can live off this. And like I said, my goal is happiness and to like live my best life and to wake up whenever I want in the morning and to go to coffee in the morning when I want and to take a little trip or vacation. I don't need fancy things or whatnot. My goal is to buy a house. So when I actually make it, I'll tell you, I'll have the keys to a house. That'll be my, like, I made it, but I really don't need much. I'd rather my life be filled with like time to spend with my friends and family and to travel. So making it for me is not really a dollar sign. I now live very comfortably, and I could buy a house somewhere other than LA. I just can't.
LA's different.
The house that I would get wouldn't be what I want. So I'm waiting till I can get what I want here.
I get it. Okay. So then take us through the journey. Like, then you started with bikini, and then you just started to go more explicit. Like, take us through that journey and your thought process behind that. Like, and then, you know, when you did go explicit the first time, what that was like? Was it like a drug in a way? Like, where you had like a dopamine hit? Like, wow, I like this. You know, that, like, take us through that journey.
Yeah. So it was like I kind of mentioned, in my early childhood, even I looked at these because that show came out. I was probably like in third grade. it was early. I was very infatuated, I guess, with this type of work. And so when I first did my first explicit piece, I didn't have my face in it. It was just, I don't know how much I could say, but
you can say whatever you want.
Okay. It was a masturbating video, no toys, no face in it. Which I don't know why. I have tattoos. You know who it is. But you know,
it was kind of like masking up. Like, it was like, let me try this. And then if it doesn't work, then I don't, like, nobody see my face, and I could say somebody else had tattoos like me.
Yeah. And I didn't have hand tattoos at the time. So it was just my arms. That was the first video, and it was a few minutes long, and it was actually really exciting. Like you said, there was that dopamine hit where I was like, oh, I'm actually doing something that I had thought about for so long and just never really had the opportunity, because like I said, I'm not comfortable with doing stuff with other people or in more of like a porn, like the typical where there's a studio and all that. I'm not comfortable with that. So I always was infatuated with it, but I wasn't necessarily wanting to do what they were doing. And there's no shame at all for if that's what you want to do, that's great. For me, it just didn't feel right. So to finally have the ability to make a video on my own in an environment that felt comfortable for me was that dopamine hit. It was like, I'm finally doing something that I was so excited to do. And that's why it started progressing from there. And I think what inspired it was definitely the money. I will be real with that. It was like someone offered a lot of money for that video, and I said, oh, okay, let's do it. And, you know, people offer a lot of money for me to do more and more and more, but I have my limits there, and I'm perfectly good with what I'm doing now. So, you know, like I said, the money isn't really what completely drives me. At that time, it was just that, you know, one piece, but I knew that eventually I was going to get to that point anyways. So it was just exciting for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that first one, then like, how did the process go from there? Like, oh man, I need to produce more content. And then like, did you increase the amount of like work that you were doing to create content because you saw the potential in it? Or did you stay on your cadence of what you were normally doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when I started, I did like, I wanted to share on my YouTube. So I wanted to be consistent with it and give it my all, just like I do with any project. That's why, as I mentioned too earlier, when I was working corporate, I was doing really, really well. And like I said, also when in high school, I was in honors classes, I was in AP classes. When I put my mind to it, I do really well. So I chose, when I started, I said, I'm going to do really well. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to post often. And so when I started, I posted every single day, 10 a.m. and then every hour for like 3 to 4 hours. So I posted like 3 to 5 pieces of content every day for the first year to 2 years on OnlyFans. So that's what I was doing and I stuck with it. I didn't change that when I noticed like, oh, you know, more money coming in. I didn't want to add more. I felt like that was a good place to be. Like that was a lot of posting. And then slowly it kind of like went to 1 day a week and then, or not 1 day a week, 1 day or 1 post a day. And then now it's like a few times a week. So you get to that point where you build up your fan base and they trust you and they're there to stay. So it takes a little bit of time, but I do recommend like going full throttle in anything that you do, whether that's YouTube posting every week or twice a week, even. I just started a new YouTube channel actually, and I am about to hit 150,000 followers. I started it earlier this month. And wow. I'm posting every 2 days.
So you start, why did you start a new one? Like, was there some different content or?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I'm working with this company called Slushy, an OnlyFans alternative / TikTok style. It's really fun. And so to get more people and audience to the platform, I wanted to start something that would bring in a male audience because so much of my personal YouTube channel is to attract creators because I want to share my journey and I want to help other creators, you know, build their journey. So that platform, that page is really catered towards mostly female creators. And so I'm not gaining an audience for Slushy there. But
right.
Over on this new channel, I'm doing try-on hauls. So they're very, sexual and they show my body and they're showing like these beautiful clothes and lingerie and all of that. And so they're attracting the right audience to my new page, my new Slushy page. And it's working really, really well. So it's a new project that I've been working on this month. And like I said, I go full force when I try something. And so I've been posting every 1 to 2 days. On that page for the last month.
Do you edit all your content and handle all the uploads of the YouTube and all that kind of stuff? Like, do you do it all yourself or do you have a team helping you?
Yeah, no, it's all me. I do have a video editor for my personal YouTube channel, but I don't let him edit my vlogs because I'm a stutterer and I will, you know, start doing something else and I'll be like, oh shoot, I'm still filming. So I just like to cut my own vlogs. But when I do sit down videos, I do have an editor for that. And then this new channel, I edit everything myself. And it is so simple for that channel. I found a really good strategy there where it's not a lot of heavy editing. It's literally just clip, 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 put it all together. When I'm shooting, I stand straight and get ready. I push the button on so there's not a lot of cutting. And I can get these videos done. I can get like 5 of them done in a day. So. And then editing, and uploading.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So how do you, what's your content creation, the ideas, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but you know, like the ideas, how do you get ideas of what to shoot when you're on OF or Slushy or whatever? Like where do you get the ideas? You see somebody else doing it? Like you just come up with it? Like what, cause you want to be different each time, right? Like you want to have some variety.
Sometimes you want to stick to your, you know, core of your brand. And so sometimes that looks like the same thing over and over again until your fans start to get tired of it. But a lot of the time, like what's your favorite movie genre?
Well, I guess probably comedies.
Me too. So
yeah, comedies, I'd have to say comedies.
I will say comedies are the only ones that are sort of different every single time. But if you think about.
Well, gangster like movies, let's talk about mobster movies then.
Yeah, a mobster movie. You know, it's the same kind of storyline every time. You know, you know, there's like the bad guy there, you know, there's the bad guy, but then he's maybe the Robin Hood of it all because he's a mobster, whatever. You know, the storyline, it's sort of the same thing every single time. You know, there's some action, there's some fighting, and then it ends happy or sad. And you kind of get the storyline. And you, as somebody who likes these type of movies, you're going to watch every single one of them, even if it's the same story. Even with like romantic comedies, let's do that. It's always they have the same.
Yeah. It's predictable,
It's predictable and you like it. That's why you like it. So it's the same with this type of content. It's predictable. People like what they like. They get used to it. They get comfortable. People love to be comfortable. So I would say for the most part, I just stick to that same storyline or that same, you know, style of content, especially once I find a really good quality of content. I like to have good quality of content. And then I just keep going from there until it starts to feel really boring for me or really boring for them. And then I'll switch a few things up.
And what are you known for? Like, what do people come to your channel for?
So for that channel specifically, it is transparent try-on stuff. And you also asked, where do I get the inspiration? So for this one specifically, I do recommend building a community of people because your community is going to help you and you are going to help your community. And I, because of my YouTube channel, I met a lot of other creators that are also on YouTube and on social media. And so I have this group chat with a few creators and we are just BFFs, best friends. And like, we all share all of our tips and tricks. And so one of them, Blair Beanie, she started this try-on channel and she was doing transparent try-ons. And her channel blew up to 30,000 followers in a month. And I was like, that is crazy. Like, I've been building my personal YouTube channel for years, for a decade, longer than that. And I'm like, how did you do that? I was looking at her stuff and we were talking about it and she was sharing her ideas and everything. And so that's where I got my original idea from, was from her. And then other ideas that I come up with too, I'll just start doing my research, see what's popular, see what's trending. And then how can I make that me? Cause like I said, there's certain like looks that I really like as far as quality goes. And so I add my little sprinkle to it and my personality. And I'm not very like, I know a lot of girls in the space are very like sexual and blah, blah, blah. I got tattoos. I'm who I am. And I think that's like part of my brand and my personality. I kind of do my research around, and then I also write a list. So I want to go back a little bit for my spicy pages, the type of content, like you said, does it get repetitive? Does it get boring? The one thing that I do is I write a list of all these different types of content. And sometimes your fans will ask you for certain content. And this can go for any type of content creator. Your fans are going to tell you what they want to see. So I write those down and I have this long list and I check them off. So when I go to create content, I'll have this long list and I'll go from the top, check it off. You know, maybe I get four of those done this day and then I've got the rest here so I can start up here again and then go all the way to the bottom and then I can uncheck them and start back at the top. So I go through this long 100 checklist. And then by the time I get to the 100th one, the first one feels new again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
and you can do that with anything.
So let me ask you this, because in business, like, when I do, coaching, mentoring in business and this and that and mindset performance, like there's some, and I'm not talking anybody in particular. So anybody listening to this, if it's about you, it's about you, but there's some people that are like kind of wig you out a little bit and freak you out a little bit. Like, do you ever have to experience that with any of the fans or people that are subscribers that come on and like they're kind of like creepy and or go a little too far with it, things like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have found that this industry is a lot different than any other on social media. You know, there's definitely a lot of hate or weirdos in social media in general. So yes, I've experienced that. But when it comes down to the actual like fans on my Slushy or on my OnlyFans, and the fans on my personal and my new YouTube channel, they're very respectful. They're very, very respectful. I haven't had much issues at all since I started doing this. And I had way more issues, you know, with people before I started doing this on social media.
Gotcha.
There was a lot more hate. There was a lot more weirdos that would try and, you know, ruffle your feathers or do whatever. Now, I mean, that's few, very few. A lot of people are so respectful. I just went to AVN. Do you know what that is?
Yep.
Yeah. So I just went to AVN last week or the week before. And it was so cool to see everyone in the industry and all the fans there too, and how much respect everyone has for each other. The industry is so different than what you'd think. No one's trying to touch the girls. No one's trying to, you know, it's so respectful. And I find that online as well.
Gotcha. So, and then when you first started doing this kind of content, like the people that knew you, family, friends, like what kind of feedback did you get initially?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like I said, I grew up in Northern California, sort of close to San Francisco. And I like to think of San Francisco and that area as very open-minded and free and strange. But I grew up with parents that are almost hippie-like in a sense. Not in the way you'd think of hippies. Like, they're not...
No, but they're free love. Like, free, yes. Free, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they were just, the first thing is my sister. I lived with my sister at the time when I started. So I told her right away what I was doing. I didn't get into any details because I don't feel like my sister needs to know. But she knew what OnlyFans was. That's all I need to tell her. And
wait a minute, but do you think that they went on when people found out, like they went on there to check it out though and they didn't tell you?
I think people I knew like from high school maybe or like people in my real life. I did have a friend that told me she went on. And I actually saw some usernames, some friends, but no family.
Like, you know, they're curious, like, let me see what Alana's really doing. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you know that, you know.
No. Yeah. 100%. I definitely saw like friends' usernames. But yeah, I told my sister first. She was like, are you going to tell mom? And then I was like, probably not. And then my sister's the type of person, she's like, I'm going to go tell her. I'm like, okay, you go for it. So she told my mom, and then my mom told her, like, oh, I wish she would come tell me. So I called my mom. Hey, I'm doing this thing. It's sort of like Playboy, but you get to do it on your own. And all she said was, I would have liked it if you were just the photographer. And I'm like, yeah, I am the photographer. I do it all. So that was kind of the conversation with her. My dad passed away. So he didn't
get, I'm sorry.
I'm sure he knows, you know, he knows. He is not around for that. But my mom and my sister knew. And then my friends were like, cool, whatever, do whatever you want. Like I said, I had a friend go on there and she told me, she's like, oh, I looked at it. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you. Should pay for it. So thank you. And then I had only one sort of issue about 2 years ago where one of my aunts, I'm just going to call them out. One of my aunts is a psychiatrist or psychologist, something like that. And she had mentioned to someone else in the family, she was like, oh, I wonder like what trauma Alana had to like went through to end up doing this. That was the only kind of negative thing that I feel like I heard from a family member. You know, people might be saying stuff behind my back. That's totally fine. But I mean, that was behind my back. But it ended up trickling down to me. And my response to that and to people who say that is like, there might be people that have trauma and like they do end up in this industry and that's okay. And there might be people that just like doing this and that's also okay. And I think that that's who I am. I, like I said, from early days had always been so curious about this and I had the opportunity to live a normal life and doing a normal job and I just wasn't for me. And doesn't mean that there's anything like that had to have happened for me to end up here.
Do you like attention though? Do you feel like you seek attention as far as like, cause honestly, I'm the center of attention. I like to be the center of attention. I don't know what I would do. I don't think I'd be on Slushy or OnlyFans. I don't know yet, but my wife would not let me probably. But I mean, maybe my feet. She might let me do my feet, my hands or something.
Do you feel like
that there's attention seeking qualities about you?
You know, my first response is no, but if I'm being real, I guess yes. Because like I said, when I was a kid, I was the type of person to yell, be loud, talk all the time. Like, that's why I love talking. That's why I probably love YouTube so much. I could just talk and no one, you can listen or you don't have to.
Right.
And so maybe there's an aspect of that that's true. Yeah, I like the attention. But the thing is I don't want fame. I don't want too much attention, I guess, because I like my privacy at the same time. And I'm very, I'm not a social person in the sense that I like to like go out and party and like be the center of attention in that way. I'm a homebody. I like to be a couch potato. I like to watch TV. So in that sense, I don't, but when it comes to online, there has to be some aspect of like wanting attention, because that's how you make money. You know, you attract people to you.
Yeah. Let's talk about the mental health side of it. Like, has it, do you feel like it at all, like it affects your mental health, or those that like you've seen that you've coached or mentored? Are you coaching people that have like are dealing with mental health issues at all, like depression, anxiety, whatever?
Yeah, I actually, this goes in two different parts. So I have a friend, I guess I won't say her name, even though she did mention it on my channel. You can watch my podcast and see her say it. But she actually has a physical health condition where it's really hard for her to stand up. She has POTS. So the longer she's standing, the more winded she gets. So she can't really have a normal job. And that's why she got into this, so that she can make money at home. And so in that sense, it was a really helpful for her. But also, you have to be realistic. This isn't for everybody. So it was great that worked out for her and that it's working out. But I also have actually mentored someone who got into it and got addicted to it. And her husband had to tell her she can't do this anymore because it was eating her up, like eating her alive, literally. She wouldn't eat. She would be on her phone all the time. She couldn't stop and put her phone down. So she got so addicted to it that she ended up having to stop doing it. So it affects people differently. And I actually have a video on my channel called The Dark Side of This Industry, you know, and there is a dark side, and there, you have to be realistic. There's a dark side to a lot of different industries. You know, you could talk about lawyers and like the nasty, horrible things they're doing, or, you know, certain people, not everyone. But yeah, there's a dark side to everything. And I think that it can affect your mental health, especially looking at beautiful girls all day, looking at pornography all day. There are obviously ways that that's going to affect you. And some people, I think it affects them worse. Some people, it doesn't affect them as much. But I think there is an aspect to it that is absolutely going to affect your mental health. For me, there was a time where, when I first started, where I was looking at all these beautiful girls and I was like, oh, I need to, you know, fix this, fix that, fix that. Get this, get that. And 5 years later, I haven't gotten any plastic surgery, nothing, because I chose to be real with myself and be like, hey, there are plenty of beautiful natural girls as well. And they're beautiful girls that have had plastic surgery as well, but you don't need to fit in a box. You don't need to let
not only that, the stuff that you see yourself in the mirror, right, that you would want to change or this and that, like other people don't see that same thing, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So there's flavors for everyone, in other words. So like, be the flavor you are. Unapologetically, yes. That's about being that one, and then and then draw that tribe into you, and then because you're, the thing is that if you were to do any work, right, there's going to be people that like you now that are like, not like you, I'm talking about being attracted to you, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna like switch because they're gonna be like, oh, she fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
like
what
if
I mean?
They like natural boobs, and you got plastic boobs, like, or like, you know, you got your
why
boobs
did she do that?
Yeah, she they're not perfect like it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So people don't think about that part, right? You know? So All right, as we wrap up here, two more things I want to talk about. LA, living in LA, what's it like? I know you're a homebody, but still, like, what are the parts of LA that you like? And then like the dating scene and all that, like with being in LA, what's it like? And also doing what you do for a living, like how does that all jive?
That's a good question. Okay, so just starting.
No, hold on. You were gonna say amazing. I think you were gonna say amazing question.
Amazing question. It is an amazing question.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, you started off by saying that's an good question. I was like, give me the amazing.
I take it back. It was amazing.
Okay. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding.
When I started first let's talk about LA really quick. I love it here. I love the sun, I love warmth, I love California. I'm a Cali girl, born and raised, and I just love it here. I like all of California, though, because I do love Northern California. It's just a little bit too cold for me, but it is beautiful. And my favorite things here in LA, you know, Malibu's great, the pier there. I lived in Hollywood for a while, and the going out scene is great there. I have my days. I do like to go out sometimes, but most of the time I'm a potato. I love that. I love my people here. I think, you know, you... a lot of people talk about how fake everyone is in LA. I've not met anyone. I haven't met anyone fake. I love everyone here. Everyone that I meet, I think everyone's so cool and unique and has drive, and you can feel that in the energy, but it's also chill. Like New York might be high energy, high drive, you know, and those passionate, inspiring people. So that might be good energy there. But for me, since I am a couch potato, I need a little bit of both. And that chill vibe here is really good. So it's a little bit of like, you know, go getter and also let's chill. So that's what I like about LA. But going into the dating scene here, and also in Northern California, because when I started this, I was living in Northern California. I had moved back and forth. So I had lived here for eight-ish years, and I moved back for 2 years. And that's when I started. And then I came back. So there, it was actually pretty hard because I had a lot of people tell me that it was gross, that I was doing, you know, this type of work. And at the time, it was when I was only doing the bikini stuff. So I was like, what do you mean? You have that posted on your Instagram. You're liking stuff on Instagram. Like, what are you talking about? And also, I'm pansexual. So it was hard because I was, I'm already in like a weird boat where, you know, girls don't want to date someone that might have been with guys, and guys don't want to date girls that might go with girls.
Hold up. You got to help me. You got to school me here. What's pan? I've heard of it before, but I forget what it is. Okay. What is pansexual?
So in simple, it's bisexual. But the only difference, that the reason why I use pansexual, is because it's inclusive to trans people and people
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So I would date, you know, if I was single, I would date someone that's trans. That doesn't bother me. Whereas bisexual, I'm not saying that they're excluding people by using that bisexual, but for me personally, I prefer that word because I know that's inclusive to everyone. Makes
sense. I get it.
And it really describes that as well. So for me, that's what
it is. You go with like who attracts you. Like, it doesn't matter what they are. If they attract you, then it is what it is. Yeah. I get it. All right.
Yeah. I like people for like their energy, and I like uniqueness. I like people with character. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But yeah, I just like, it's not really about what's down there, because that, you know, both will, you can do a lot, you know, so it's not about that. But yeah, so up there, it was hard because a lot of people were saying like, that's gross. And especially because it was so new, like people weren't really like familiar with it. People didn't really like it. It's definitely become something different now. And I think people are more aware that there's a variety of different types of creators, you know, it's a spectrum of types of creators. So everyone, I don't know, everyone still has their preferences, and that's totally fine. But at the time, it was really hard in Northern California. Then I moved to LA, and I quickly got in a relationship that I'm still in now. And I didn't really have any time dating here. But before I started, dating in LA was pretty tough, just because I think everyone, like I said, is kind of on their own journey here. And I think I notice a lot of people actually settle down a lot later in life in LA. Like I mentioned, my old boss at Guess, they want to have kids, and he's like in his late 50s, and they just now are thinking about having kids.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild.
Yeah. So it happens a lot later in LA. And I just noticed that as like kind of a trend here. So I think that, you know, when someone says, oh, it's so hard to date in LA, it might be the age, like where you're at in life. I think everyone's.
And you know what? Some people just create a story. They just create a story, and then they live out that story, whatever they tell themselves. Yeah. Right. So when you are in a relationship, right. Is it one thing that like you try not to ever share your relationship, your partner on your sites and stuff, because it might mess up your subscription or your bands and things? Like, they don't like that?
Not exactly. How do you do that? Okay, so that was another thing I was going to mention when I said I like characters.
Yeah.
Daisy's my wife. She is a character. She's just so kooky and fun and silly. And she's a singer. She's amazing. Her name's Daisy Guttridge. She makes pop music. And she's beautiful. And when we got together, I never hid it. Like, I wear my ring. I don't have my diamond on right now, but I always wear a ring. I don't take it off for my videos. I don't necessarily talk about it in anything on those spicy sites. I don't really talk about it, but it's, I still wear it, my ring and everything. And everyone knows I talk about it on my YouTube channel. She's in my YouTube videos. She doesn't want to be a part of my spicy pages, and that's totally fine. But she goes in my YouTube videos all the time. So it's not something hidden. It's just not something I like bring up a lot. Yeah.
Cool. Well, listen, I could talk to you all day because I got a lot of, go ahead. I'm just trying to be respectful of your time. Yeah. Go ahead.
One more thing. And when we got together, she knew what I did right off the bat because we had a mutual friend that told her, you would really like Alana and this is what she does. So she knew right away and she actually like was familiar with the sites and everything. And just had no like stigma against it or anything. So it kind of worked out great. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, of course it did. It's still going on. So of course it worked out great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Alana, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time and, you know, sharing transparently all the things you went through and still going through. More people need to hear from you, by the way. I know you've done a lot. You've got a lot of subscribers, but more people definitely need to hear your story. And I think it's powerful. Yeah. So awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening. Hang tight while I wrap this up, Alana. Guys, listen, keep going, subscribing and liking and, you know, doing the thing for the podcast here. If you like what we're doing, we're going to continue to bring you great guests, a wide range of guests to find out what they're made of and the ingredients that have gone into making them. Until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Beat that one.